The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The union pushback in Florida, what the Communication Workers of America accomplished by mobilizing their members, a new four-year contract for nurses in Chicago, and today on the show, the latest from the Ohio Federation of Teachers and the Real News Network on East Palestine, Ohio. Welcome to the Tuesday, March 19th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. Melissa Cropper will be our first guest on the show today. She is the president of one of our great sponsors, and that would be the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org. The AFT stands for the American Federation of Teachers, and the Ohio Federation is one of the most powerful and vocal locals in the AFT. First thing we're going to talk about is, after a year and a half of bargaining, Equitas Health workers have been nearing an agreement on their first union contract. Now, they still have some issues to wrap up. They're close to the finish line, but there's a problem. The company is bringing in a new CEO who has a history of anti-union activity. Melissa reports that they are hopeful that he won't start off his work in Ohio by picking a fight with frontline employees. They may need community support in the next coming weeks. Visits to OFT locals in the past couple of weeks. Melissa had the pleasure of visiting a number of locals, one of them the Buckeye Local Schools in Medina County and Corey Rawson Local Schools in Hancock County. At Buckeye, the visit was to check out Books on Blankets Day. This is a great story. This is a project started by an eighth grade teacher, and it began by connecting eighth graders with teachers and other adults to read and discuss inspirational books chosen by the student. And what they do, they read and discuss the books spread out on blankets in the school gym. And lastly, this being primary election day, Melissa's going to talk about the campaign involving citizens, not politicians. The OFT is an active member of the coalition supporting citizens, not politicians, that would change gerrymandering. And essentially, this will be on, well, hopefully, if they get enough signatures, it'll be on the November ballot, where you would have a commission, 15 people, 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, and 5 independents. No politicians. No politicians. And they will have the final say when it comes to the districts around the state of Ohio. So Melissa Cropper will be our first guest. Later in the show, we're going to check in with Maximilian Alvarez. Max is the editor-in-chief of the Real News Network, hosts of Working People. That's all based in Baltimore. Working People is a podcast about the lives, jobs, dreams, and struggles of the working class today. And I'll tell you, he's doing a really good job calling attention to the people and their needs in East Palestine, Ohio. And we all know what happened there last year in the beginning of February. Well, this Saturday, March 23rd, unionists, environmental activists, community organizers, and supporters from all around the country will descend on East Palestine to join residents as part of the newly formed Justice for East Palestine Residents and Workers Coalition, which, by the way, is mobilizing around the core demand to pressure President Biden to invoke what's called the Stafford Act and issue a major disaster declaration in East Palestine. Now, if the president does this, organizers say it will immediately unlock a suite of federal resources that residents desperately need and have been demanding for a year now, and it would also immediately guarantee every resident emergency health care access. And one of those residents is Chris Albright, a former pipeline worker and a member of LIUNA, Labor's International Union of North America. Chris has been disabled by the toxic fallout from the derailment and now is experiencing severe heart failure. So we have a problem in East Palestine, Ohio. We have a lot of problems, but right now we got to help them out on their health. And hopefully the president will take the right path on this one. So Max Alvarez will be our second guest on the show. I may drive you to his website. It's therealnews.com. Therealnews.com. Now a brief look into the world of labor. The segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Motivated by anti-union legislation passed by the Florida legislature and by their treatment on the job by management, employees of the Florida Keys Aqueduct Authority, the FKAA, are supporting their union in record numbers. And that union is the Communication Workers of America, which reports that over 60% of the workforce are now dues-paying members and have signed membership forms required by the legislation. SB 256. We've talked about this on the show many, many times. Governor DeSantis and his legislature said, well, you know what? We got to make it more difficult for unions. They didn't actually say that, but that's exactly what happened. So instead of having 50% majority, it's now 60%. Got a comment here from Chris Walterson, president of CWA Local 3122. Chris says, knowing that they might lose their union representation because of the new law has really motivated employees to support the CWA. The biggest factor that has resulted in increased support for CWA by the workers is how the workers are being treated on the job. We have a contract with the Florida Keys Aqueduct Authority, and we expect management to abide by that contract. Whether it's unilaterally making changes to policies and procedures or firing employees without cause or refusing to follow the grievance procedure that they agreed to in our contract, management is showing the workforce that they need a strong union voice on the job. Adopted by the state legislature in 2023, SB 256 requires unions representing public sector employees in Florida to demonstrate that 60% of employees are paying dues and have signed membership authorization forms imposed by the law. Public sector unions which cannot demonstrate that 60% of represented employees are paying dues and have signed the required form face decertification by the Florida Public Employees Relations Commission, and that has been going on. By the way, there's a lawsuit involving this. Litigation over SB 256 is currently pending, and the CWA is a partner in that lawsuit. One more comment from Chris Walterson, the president of the local. He said, we recently passed 60% paying dues and signing the form, and our support is actually growing right now. It's what happens when you get a little bit of pushback. You got to push even harder to get what you want. Meanwhile, registered nurses at UChicago Medicine in Chicago have voted overwhelmingly to approve a new four-year contract that addresses numerous patient safety concerns. This according to National Nurses United. Some of the highlights of the contract include significant wage increases across the board from 20% up to 40%. Over the life of the contract, no changes to retirement benefits for the life of the contract, a commitment, and this is a big one, a commitment that charge nurses who are responsible for flow of the unit and who provide critical support to other floor nurses will not be assigned a patient load in nearly a dozen new units. Also, dedicated meal and relief breaks in the adult emergency department. That's a part of the contract as well. We have a comment from Pam Valentine, who is a registered nurse at the UC Chicago Medicine Facility. We are so proud of what we've been able to accomplish for our patients with this new contract. This contract includes numerous provisions that we believe will translate into better recruitment and retention of experienced nurses who are critical in providing the highest quality of care to our patients. So congratulations to National Nurses United. And while we're talking about what's happening in Chicago, pushed by the Teamsters and Chicago area pro-worker lawmakers, the Illinois Senate Labor Committee has approved a ban on so-called captive audience meetings where bosses and often their hired union busters get to harass workers who are forced to attend with lies about unions during organizing drives. Well, the Labor Committee okayed the bill, which is SB 3649, on a party line vote. If approved by the full Senate and the House, both heavily Democratic and pro-worker, and signed by the governor, J.B. Pritzker, it would put the land of Lincoln in the vanguard of states moving to protect workers' rights at a time when Congress has failed to do anything. This legislation would ban a boss from forcing workers under threat of discipline up to including firing to sit through meetings giving just the boss's side on two sensitive topics, politics and religion. Politics includes rants against unionization. Now, mind you, Connecticut, Oregon, Maine, Minnesota, and New York also have banned bosses from forcing workers into captive audience meetings, and similar laws are pending in Maryland, Colorado, and Washington State. Boy, I tell you, that's a game changer. That is a game changer, because so many times when workers go to those meetings, they say, okay, we better not vote for the union. We better not vote. If what they're saying is going to come true, I won't have a job anymore. So congratulations to the labor movement in the state of Illinois. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Melissa Cropper on behalf of the Ohio Federation of Teachers coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Are you looking for a new healthcare partner for your union members? Let Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield be your champion, making sure your members live their healthiest lives now more than ever. It's important to have a partner you can trust, one who understands the unique challenges unions face. Anthem provides a variety of options to meet your organization's needs and helps you control costs without sacrificing quality of care. For more information, visit anthem.com/labor and trust. This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org. America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. This next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. And let's go to our live line right now and welcome the president of the Ohio Federation. That would be Melissa Cropper, longtime supporter of America's Workforce, oh.aft.org. She's always, always busy. Today is a primary election day. We're going to talk about what she's doing. But first, Equitas Health. After a year of bargaining, it looks like we're close to the finish line. But you know what? It's never easy. It's never easy. I remember, Melissa, you and I are talking about this. This was a tough battle. And it seems like we're making some progress. And then all of a sudden, the company is bringing in a new CEO who doesn't like unions. Ay, ay, ay. Talk to me about this, Melissa.
Oh, as we have talked before, getting these first contracts is just so incredibly hard anyway. It's actually been about a year and a half of bargaining at Equitas. And so we just found out recently, well, we knew when we were going into bargain, we knew they had an interim CEO. But they recently just hired someone, and right after they were hired, we were contacted by Howard Brown Health Center in Chicago. They said, you need to know about this guy.
Oh, boy.
So he actually, on the healthcare front, actually is a very well-recognized in that space. I think he did some work with President Obama, knows that the healthcare world for the LGBTQ plus community. However, has a history, at least at Howard Brown Health Center, of being anti-union. Now, we're hopeful that, he's coming here with a new, fresh start, and that he's learned from what happened in Chicago and how things are going with workers in Chicago, and that we'll be able to get a contract soon. He starts April 1st. We still have some bargaining sessions set up in the next couple of weeks, and we're hopeful that maybe some things will happen and we'll get this contract before he starts, and then we'll have a contract to hold him accountable to.
So you're kind of in a rush right now to get this before he comes here? Is that what I'm hearing?
That would be ideal. That would be ideal to go ahead and get it finished. Of course, we've been wanting to get it finished for, we've been there a year and a half, so we've been wanting to get it finished for a long time. But they are coming to the table. They haven't been delaying. They have set up some sessions to try to get this wrapped up. So hopefully we'll be able to get it finished. If not, we'll be asking for community support again. And I feel confident that the community will step up and help us again. So Equitas has 12 locations throughout the state. So if you're, anyone listening to the show, likely there's an Equitas center close to you. So if we need help, we'll be calling for help.
Gotcha. Now, why don't you refresh our listeners on this one? I know we talked about this before. How long was this union drive going on? And as far as the vote, when they said, we want to go union. Can you go back to...
Oh, wow. We have done so much organizing in the past couple of years. I'll have to go back. It was a very tough campaign. I can't remember how long exactly the campaign went on, but we were close to pulling the plug on it at one point in time because it was just so difficult. We were able to pull it through. This was one of our... as far as our win rate, we won with a lower percentage on this one. I believe it was in the 56% or something. I really can't remember for sure for now. So it was a tough battle uh-huh. getting there. Like I said, they've got 12 locations across the state, which makes it even harder for organizing. People aren't all there in one space. But since then, the people have really rallied around this contract. We open up negotiations. We allow people to join online, and we've had different people join at different times. And what's really exciting is, a week or two ago, we knew about this new CEO coming in, and things were starting to get, starting to get a little shaky. We're, starting to get concerned with the new CEO coming in. Well, it just so happened that they had some kind of online staff meeting that people were supposed to be part of, and And we suggested that they put their logo in their background. So a couple of bargaining members put their logo in the background, and then it just like spread like wildfire. Like everybody on the call started putting this logo in their background. It was like incredible. The amount, almost all staff had this background on while they're in this staff meeting. And I think it sent a really powerful message to administration, but also I think it sent a really powerful message to our organizing committee that we see the work you're doing, we appreciate the work you're doing. I'm sorry, negotiating committee. And just gave them another burst of adrenaline too, saying, hey, we've got even more people behind us now than we did when we started this.
Well, we'll see what happens here in the next coming weeks. And y'all, you know this, you got a friend here on America's Workforce. If we need to mobilize our audience here, you know, give us maybe a couple of websites, emails, whatever we have to do to make sure we get this to the finish line. So important.
Thank you.
So important.
Thank you. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about your visits to a number of locals in the state of Ohio. And I love this story about books on blankets. What's going on here?
Yes, this is such an incredible project in Buckeye Local Schools in Medina County. The overall name of the project is called the Confetti Project, they said, because they want to spread kindness like confetti. So they started this confetti project. It's been a few years ago now, where basically it's coming out of COVID, and our seventh grade language arts teacher, Jody Keith, wanted to do something to connect students with each other, but also connect students and teachers back together, because, you know, during COVID, this was a separation period. And I said, I said seventh grade. She's actually eighth grade teacher. But so she decided to start this project where kids can choose to read whatever books they want to read. And it's usually some kind of motivational type book, but they can choose whatever book they want to read and then choose an adult that they would like to read that book with. And teachers in the school have volunteered their time, not just teachers, secretaries, bus drivers, cafeteria workers have spread to board members and some other people in the community, and offer to read a book and then have a discussion with the student about the book. And it was such a powerful connector. To talk to the adults about it is really incredible. Even these adults get teary-eyed talking about how they get to, you know, be with students in a different way, a different type of space. Well, that's now spread to the students working with the elementary school students and having a buddy in the elementary school. And they have a book that they go and read with the elementary student, and I think they do this once a quarter. And, again, build those connections, helping with literacy, but, again, an elementary school student loves having a junior high student come down and spend time with them. So they had this books on blankets event where they each brought in some kind of blanket from home or whatever and spread out in the cafeteria and sat and read the book with their little book buddy and did some coloring and just spent some time together connecting and building these relationships using books. Their next phase that they hope to do is to connect with the senior center in the community. There's senior citizens right down the road, and they're hoping to be able to get students in there and connect our students with the senior citizen population. So it's just an incredible, incredible project. I've been there a few times now, and every time I'm just blown away by how people talk about it and how much people have been impacted by it.
The other part of the story is, and this involved Corey Rawson Local Schools, which is in Hancock County, and through a grant, and this is from the American Federation of Teachers, the teachers were able to start what they called the Healthy Hornet Teacher Initiative, and this is all about wellness for educators.
Yes.
This is pretty exciting.
Yes. Every year AOT gives out back to school grants. And actually, Buckeye, we just talked about, was able to do part of their project through an AFT grant, too. But last year, the focus was really on teacher wellness. And so Corey Rawson applied for a grant and got this grant. And again, has been doing some incredible work with our teachers, making sure that they are taking care of themselves. And, you know, teaching, nursing, a lot of these professions that are public serving, the message tends to be, you know, you're supposed to work yourself into the ground for little or no money.
Yeah.
So we're trying to teach people, trying to help people recognize that you need to come first. You need to take care of yourself. And this is what's happening at Corey Rawson. So they all year long have been doing things like every Monday morning they have a healthy snack basket for the teachers. The teachers just come in and pick up their basket and take it to the room. They got snacks to last them all week long in their room. They put in a water filtration system or some kind of water system and ice machine so they can fill up their water bottles and have fresh water all day long to help keep hydrated. And just things like that all year. I gave them all water bottles too. But this particular day, they did their healthy walk, and they had stations set up throughout the school right after school hours, and teachers went through sessions on, you know, how to get better sleep at night, how to fix, you know, importance of having healthy meals, how to budget your money. So there's these seven different areas of wellness that they focused on. So it's been, a really powerful piece for teachers to just pick up these tips on how to take care of themselves. And so, you know, like I tell them, the best way to relieve a lot of the stress is to change a lot of the bad policies that are out there, make working conditions better. And that's what we're trying to do, make those working conditions better. But you also have to learn how to take care of yourself and how to manage the stress that's there. So it's twofold. And we're working on both those pieces. We're working on taking care of what's causing the stress, but we're also working on helping teachers learn how to take care of themselves and to feel okay about taking care of themselves, to not feel guilty about taking care of themselves.
All about wellness for educators. I love that. And hopefully that will expand across the state of Ohio. All right, Melissa, one more here. And I know today is primary election day and you are out and about. Well, a lot of union members are out and about today. But the issue here is citizens, not politicians. What we're doing essentially is looking forward to the fall election. And I know this is a game changer. This is a game changer. Talk to me about it.
Yes. Citizens, not politicians is pretty much what it says. This is about ending gerrymandering in the state and allowing citizens to choose who's going to represent them instead of the politicians choosing who they want to represent. So this is all about drawing the lines in the state. We know from our recent history that we had, you know, we let politicians draw the lines. They draw lines that were declared unconstitutional 7 times, and they draw lines that favor them in elections. So this is all about creating an independent commission, much like they did in Michigan, and setting it up in a way that people are in control of how those lines are drawn so we can have more fair districts. This is so incredibly important. I know you know this, but we need to make sure that we have people in those offices who are serving the will of the people. And the lines are so messed up now that it becomes a battle to be, it seems like, in the primaries, that who can be the most extreme to win these seats. The primaries in this state have become more important than the general elections, and they're battled it out to find out, you know, to appeal to the most people.
So basically there's a signing events throughout the state of Ohio. You feel pretty good? I mean, so far, I mean, I know we talked to Tim Berger about this, and we've been hitting this pretty hard on America's Workforce. And I believe the deadline is like right around July 4th or maybe a couple of days before. Right now, with the momentum, you feel pretty good about getting those signatures in time?
Yes, we have a lot of momentum getting signatures for the citizens, not politicians. We had people out all over across the state today on primary election day getting signatures, but I believe we're around 300,000 signatures at this point in time. And so that puts us more than halfway to where we need to be. And people really understand this issue. People want gerrymandering to end in the state. They've seen, particularly in the past year, how politicians are not representing the people of the state, not representing the citizens. So it's time to put the citizens back in charge, let citizens draw the lines in this state so it's the citizens who are determining who's representing them and not politicians making those decisions.
That's right. We choose the politicians. The politicians shouldn't be choosing the voters. That's what it's all about.
That's right.
Melissa Cropper, president of the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org. You keep up the fight. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Maximilian Alvarez is the editor-in-chief of the Real News Network. Got a big event coming up this Saturday. He's talking about it next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Are you an experienced mechanical insulator looking to take your career to the next level? Insulators Local 50 in Central Ohio has steady work for a number of years. Insulators Local 50 offers a total wage and benefits package that can't be beat. It's not just the competitive wages. Local 50 also provides medical, vision, and dental insurance with no paycheck deductions for you and your family. Don't miss out on the chance to secure your future. Join us at Insulators Local 50. Earn great pay and the best benefits. Visit insulators50.com/AWF50 to fill out the online form, and a Local 50 representative will call to begin the process. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Founded in 1887, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters represents the employees responsible for tirelessly constructing and maintaining the national rail system in America. For more than a century, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees has proven they have what it takes to protect its members and meet the ever-changing challenges of the rail industry. Today, the BMWED continues to fight for job security, fair wages, better benefits, and safer, more modern work environments. For more information, please visit BMWE.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-Union.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org. Let's go to line number two. Welcome back to the show, Max Alvarez. Max is the editor-in-chief of the Real News Network. TheRealNews.com is a website. And this Saturday, which is March 23rd, Max, unionists, environmental activists, community organizers, and supporters from all around the country are going to East Palestine. They're descending upon East Palestine, Ohio, to join residents as part of the newly formed Justice for East Palestine Residents and Workers Coalition, which is mobilizing around the core demand to pressure President Biden to issue a major disaster declaration for East Palestine. Max, let's start with you, because I understand we have a resident of East Palestine on our live line who is also a union brother, LIUNA Local 1058, that would be Chris Albright, who's been disabled as a result of that train derailment last February of 2023. Max, talk to me about what's going on here. It's all yours, brother.
Thank you so much, brother. And thank you again, as always, for having me on and for lifting this story in particular up. Because, I mean, every story that I report on, and I know you feel the same way, everyone matters. The last time I was on, we were talking about striking sandwich shop workers in Seattle, and they won that strike, and that's incredible. But this story in East Palestine is really, you know, personal to me. And I think, you know, it's something that you can't help but be changed by once you start listening to the stories of East Palestine residents like Chris. And that's kind of how I got involved in this story, right? I mean, I've been reporting for the entire year leading up to East Palestine. And let's not forget that the Norfolk Southern train derailed there in East Palestine, Ohio, on February 3rd of 2023. And the entire year before that, we were going through the railroad contract fight. with the 12 different unions fighting the Class 1 railroads. I was interviewing railroad worker after railroad worker who kept, and all of them kept warning me that some catastrophe was going to happen because of all the cost cutting, the corner cutting, the corporate greed that was running workers into the ground and putting our supply chain at risk. And then lo and behold, 2 months after Congress and President Biden forced a contract down railroad workers' throats, East Palestine happens. And from there, I started connecting with residents like Chris and doing interviews with them about what they were going through. And I just couldn't give up on them because what they are going through is it's horrifying. Like it's a real life horror show what they're going through, Flash, and they've just been completely abandoned, and they've been lied to. They are feeling sick. Some people are feeling the effects way more than others. Some people are getting help from Norfolk Southern if they're lucky enough to be living like within a 1 mile radius of the crash site, although I would hardly call that lucky. But so many people outside of that zone have gotten no help whatsoever. And, you know, Chris is someone that I connected with in my, efforts to cover this story on my show, Working People, and at the Real News Network over the past year. And I got to know him. I got to know his wife, Jess, their incredible family. And I got to hear their powerful and heartbreaking story about how Chris was a, you know, healthy, able-bodied pipeline worker, union member, living in town, like in having a great family, providing for that family. And then when this, catastrophic industrial accident happens in their backyard, and the even more catastrophic decision to vent and burn 5 cars worth of toxic vinyl chloride and spew all those chemicals all over the area and in the water and in the grass and all of that stuff. You know, Chris, now can't work. I mean, he is experiencing, I'll let him tell it. But I mean, like, he's been directly impacted, can't work. And because of that, has now lost his health insurance, and when he most needs it to save his life because of an accident that Norfolk Southern caused, that negligent government officials caused, that he did not cause and had nothing to do with whatsoever, but he is bearing the cost of all of that. And for over a year, I've been interviewing Chris, I've been interviewing his neighbors, trying to get anyone I could to listen, and at times, I'll tell you, Flash, it felt like no one was. But what's so incredible about what's happening right now in East Palestine and what's going to happen this Saturday on March 23rd when we're all there in town is that, you know, people are listening, and workers and unionists and environmental groups and community orgs are listening and heeding the call. And they're coming to East Palestine to mobilize around this core demand to pressure Biden to issue a major disaster declaration in East Palestine, which would get folks like Chris immediate health care. And of course, East Palestine needs so much more than that. But this is important because if we can get this, if we can get this win, then like that is the pathway to so many other issues that we have to address. This kind of coalition building, this kind of, banding together across political divides, across jobs, across union, non-union, across communities, but the working class banding together to stand up for one another, that is something to be hopeful about, even though really dire circumstances have brought us all together.
Well, we have Chris on line number 3 right now. Again, Chris is a former pipeline worker and a brother of LIUNA. That would be LIUNA, Labor's International Union of North America, Local 1058. This is a life and death situation. Now, Chris, Max said you were fine until February 3rd. Talk to me about your health now. I understand you're experiencing heart failure. Can you explain what's going on?
Sure can. Right after the derailment, and again, up to that, I was perfectly healthy. I was out, a very active guy. I partake in all kinds of extra stuff, hockey and golf and fishing and everything else. And after that happened, I couldn't walk 20 feet without having to stop and catch my breath. Now, at the time, I thought maybe I had just gotten chemical pneumonia, which, this is bad, but that'll go away. And then I went to the doctor to find out that I suffered from congestive heart failure, which progressed into severe heart failure. Without getting into the technical terms, my ejection fraction actually went all the way down to 16%. That's the rate at which your heart pumps out blood.
Mm-hmm.
Things weren't looking very good for me. You know, I have a family, and I've been able to work since April 13th of last year. In that time, because I wasn't working, I've lost my health benefits. I need to have these health benefits. One of my prescriptions alone, one of them out of the eight of them that I take, is $2,700.
Oh my.
For one prescription. And I can't afford this. I'm bringing in no income right now, and I don't have health benefits right now due to, just like Max said, something that was not my fault. I didn't do this. I would love to be able to go back to February 2nd and nothing happened, and I can continue working and providing for my family.
Chris, are others experiencing the same kind of thing like you?
There are a lot of different things. As far as the heart, I'm not really sure about. I do know some people who had congestive heart failure. It's gotten, you know, a lot worse. There have been a lot of other people experiencing. My one daughter, every time she would step in the house, because we actually got displaced to a hotel about 25 miles away, and anytime she would come back to the house, it's within the first, no joking, minute of walking in the house, she would get a nosebleed and a nose gush. I mean, blood would just be pouring out of her. My youngest daughter would get rashes. My wife now has high blood pressure. We've all been affected. I know people around here have had experienced a lot of different things. A lot of irritations, skin irritations, eye irritations, loss of taste. A lot of different things. Headaches. Headaches is another huge one too. And bad headaches, debilitating headaches.
So what are you doing? You mentioned that one prescription was $2,700 a month. I can assume you're not able to get this because of the cost of that medication, or is there a GoFundMe campaign going on right now? How are you making ends meet?
We're not. The last thing that I did before my insurance ran out, I kind of got a hold of my doctor and got 3 months supplies of all my medicine, of all my medication for the time being to get me through to something. We do have a GoFundMe set up, but that was a while ago, but we're struggling very bad. I mean, it's, you know, without me working, paying bills is a struggle. I mean, we're yeah. scratching and clawing right now to make ends meet, and it's tough. And again, I didn't do this. I want to go back to work. That's my biggest thing, is I want to go back to work, but because of their negligence, I'm unable to.
Chris, it's my understanding that you're helping organize this event despite all your medical problems right now. I mean, what are you specifically doing to prepare for this Saturday?
I've been doing a lot of different things, trying to help out as much as I possibly can, securing an area, providing different places for people to stay, getting the word out, writing letters, anything I can to make people know what we're doing here, why we're doing it, and getting the message to the right people.
Gotcha. All right, I have to take a quick break here. Joining us on our live line right now, Max Alvarez, who's editor-in-chief of the Real News Network, realnews.com, realnews.com, and Chris Albright, who you just heard. Chris, a former pipeline worker and a member of Labor's International Union of North America, Local 1058. He's been disabled by what happened at East Palestine, Ohio on February 3rd of 2023. We'll continue the conversation right after this.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at USW.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org. The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Max Alvarez on behalf of the Real News Network and Chris Albright, former pipeline worker and member of LIUNA, disabled as a result of what happened in East Palestine, Ohio last year. Max, I want to start off with you on this segment. You're trying to pressure President Biden to invoke the Stafford Act and issue a major disaster declaration for East Palestine. Maybe you can give us some specifics, because right now, because of what happened there, Chris loses his job. He doesn't have his health insurance. The Stafford Act would change all that? Is that what I'm hearing?
So that's the hope, and that's why the the committee itself, the newly formed Justice for East Palestine Residents and Workers Coalition, of which Chris is a part, but it also includes great folks like Steve Zeltzer, Penny Logsdon from the Iowa from the Iowa labor movement, folks from the Teamsters, Jeff Kurtz, it's really an incredible thing that's happening here, and we need everyone to contribute to it, because that's effectively like what this group has landed on as a core demand. Because we all saw that Biden finally got out to East Palestine in February, over a year after the actual derailment, which is unforgivable in and of itself. But the hope was that he would come there, see what folks are going through, listen to their concerns, and realize, like any sensible person would if they talked to people like Chris for 2 seconds, that these folks are not okay, that they need more help than they've been getting. And in fact, if Biden invokes the Stafford Act and declares East Palestine disaster area, which residents have been calling for, which even Governor Mike DeWine has submitted a request for. He took his sweet time doing that, but he submitted it, and it's just been sitting there on Biden's desk. And when Biden came in February, he kind of just told East Palestinians, you're welcome for delivering for you, when the town is like, but no, we need a whole lot more. Like, the EPA is not giving us all the answers that we need. We need indoor testing, to figure out why our children are getting nosebleeds when they stand in the house, that kind of thing. But most urgently, like you said, people need health care. They don't need health insurance. They need immediate health care. With Chris's situation, we do not have a single day to waste, and when we need to rally as many people to around this cause as we can. But yes, the organizers have landed on pressuring Biden to invoke the Stafford Act, declare East Palestine a federal disaster area, which would unlock a suite of federal resources including, you know, like providing immediate health care. This is something presidents have done, you know, when there are hurricanes, when there are, you know, like industrial accidents. Like, there is precedent for this, and the need is absolutely there. And it's something that you know, if people make enough noise and get the Biden administration's attention, like, we could actually do some real immediate help here. And I just want to say one more thing on that note. You know, Flash, I'm so grateful to you for having us on to talk about this and for lifting up this struggle. And I'm going to cede the rest of my time to Chris in a second. But your audience is exactly the one that we are trying to reach right now. So I just want to say to everyone listening, by way of rounding out, if you are in a union, if you want workers out there to sign union cards in droves, if you want them to get active, and if you want them to see unions as organizations that are going to fight for them and their families when no one else will, when the same corporations that are exploiting us on the shop floor are poisoning our neighbors and their children, this is your chance. These are your brothers and sisters in East Palestine, and they need your help. And, like, this is Lord of the Rings stuff right now, baby. Like, this is Helm's Deep. After over a year of waiting on answers, waiting on tests, waiting on assistance from Norfolk Southern and the government, after, you know, a year of getting kicked around as political footballs by Democrats and Republicans who will all wag their fingers at each other, take pictures in East Palestine, and not do anything to actually help these people. And after a year for me of covering this nightmare that they're living through, publishing interview after interview and really not knowing if anyone out there was listening, this is that moment in the movie when you know, things seem to be at their darkest, when the bad guys are winning and everything we hold dear is getting destroyed. Folks like Chris and so many others in East Palestine have been fighting to get answers, to get accountability, to get the emergency aid that they needed a year ago, fighting to keep their struggle from being completely forgotten by the rest of the country. But now it's like the sun is rising and the reinforcements are starting to come and labor is starting to show up. But we need everybody, because the bigger this campaign gets, the more of a shot we've got to pull this off and to get fellow workers like Chris the help that they need. So get your locals to sign up. Spread the word. Reach out to the event organizers. Do letter writing campaigns and phone banking. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And if you're in other community groups, faith groups, social justice organizations, join this cause. Tell these oligarchs and these conglomerates like Norfolk Southern that the working class will not go quietly into their deregulated dystopia. Show them that our solidarity and our collective power is strong enough to put a stop to their greed and destruction, and show the people in East Palestine that they are not forgotten. Show their children, show Chris's children, that their lives and their futures matter. Show them what it looks like when working people stick together and fight, because we can win this thing if we fight together.
Okay, Max, I see this as a huge media event that's going to be this Saturday. I want to go to a Chris Albright, member of LIUNA Local 1058, who's suffering, experiencing heart failure because of what happened in East Palestine. Chris, can you be specific where people can gather this Saturday? We want to make this huge. We want to make this so national media is there. What do we know about it right now?
First of all, like, we were having it at a church, and it actually grew too big for the church, which is amazing. I think that's awesome that it did that. So we're doing it at the East Palestine Park right now, which is right off of Park Road. There is an indoor pavilion. There's lots of outdoor stuff out there. There's lots of room for people to gather. We're going to have music there. We're going to have storytelling there. We're going to have people talking from different panels and informing everybody about what's going on and what we can do.
Gotcha. And I know you're helping organize the event. Well, I'll tell you, again, this is going to be this Saturday, March 23rd. This is the newly formed Justice for East Palestine Residents and Workers Coalition, mobilizing around the main demand here is to pressure President Biden to invoke the Stafford Act and issue a major disaster declaration for East Palestine. And this way, the people there that are suffering, like Chris, can get the health care that they need. They need it right away. They need it. Yeah, they needed it on February 4th after this thing happened. So, Max, you can button it up. We only got about 30 seconds here. This is a call to action time. It's all yours, brother.
Thank you so much, brother. Again, brothers and sisters, if you are out there listening, don't expect someone else to get involved in this fight. Be that change yourself. get involved, reach out to the organizers, tell your community orgs to get involved and sign on to support the campaign, spread the word, call your officials, reach out to your media, the local media, and get them to cover this. National media, get them to cover this. We can do this. And like I said, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something here. And if we got everyone doing something, we can make this happen.
Well, Max, thank you very much. Max Alvarez on behalf of the Real News Network and Chris Albright suffering as a result of what happened in East Palestine, Ohio. You can check out more at therealnews.com. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the American Federation of Government Employees and the Illinois School of Labor and Employment Relations. Until then, all of you, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.